So let's have a chat to Fiona and Jeremy. Good morning.
Hi, Lolita. How are you?
Hi, Fiona. Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
And good morning, Jeremy.
Yeah, good morning, Lolita.
Great. Now, this is
See, I'm a bit sleepy, you know.
Sorry, you're what?
Sleepy.
Yes, I can understand. I can't afford to be sleepy. But we have a very important issue that no political party is actually talking about. And that is of great concern to all of us. And I thought it'll be a good opportunity for you guys to let us know about the current situation in housing. And everybody knows about the Bendigo Street occupation by homeless people, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's been ongoing. And we keep talking about that issue every week. We announce it so that people can actually go there and express a solidarity with those people. But there are more fundamental issues. And just wondered if you want to start off with the basic, you know, things that are happening, which is housing as an issue has not been addressed in the election. What are your feelings about that?
Yes, well, that's certainly the case. It's very disappointing that housing and homelessness have not even been properly discussed. And our position, of course, is that we need to retain public housing. That's the only long-term solution to the housing crisis and to homelessness. And there's a real wall of silence. There's a real conspiracy of silence, if you like, around the stock transfers. So,
which is that stock being taken away from public housing and given to the private semi-charity, semi-business bodies that call themselves community housing.
Yes.
Which are a sort of Labor third way, I believe, is its origins of privatised public housing. So what's happening is these organisations, which are based on charities ultimately, are being given public housing stock first to manage and then to own, and that's essentially their business model, to cannibalise public housing. And the word to look for is always social housing. When a politician tells you they're committed to social housing, they want you to think they're committed to public housing. What they mean is they're committed to community housing, to taking to building up these privatised bodies. So it's another privatisation disaster. It's not being publicly talked about by anybody. It's going except people such as us here. It's going on completely under the radar, and so we need first of all to have a discussion about it, because that's the first thing. A really important point, by the way, is that the community housing is massively subsidised by Commonwealth Rent Assistance, which is little known. People talk about community housing being more efficient, using less public money. What they don't talk about is that they get Commonwealth Rent Assistance,
whereas public housing doesn't need it whatsoever.
Yeah. The thing is, sorry if I can just rave on just a second or two more, is the public housing we have was built largely in the 60s and 70s by mostly Liberal government. And we could afford to build it then. We can afford to build it now. It is the quite simple, direct solution to the housing shortage is to build more public housing. We have to bite the bullet as a policy thing and just do it. Very much in support of the occupation and the squatters too, of course.
Mm. So one of the key things that people are confused about, as you were pointing out, is the term social housing. In fact, social housing has two arms. One is the public housing, which is the true original public housing, where people actually pay around 25% to 30% rent. And then you have the stock that's being sold off. This is the other point. It's not actually being sold off. It's being given to church organizations and other entrepreneurs who actually go under the radar, because from what I understand, to be eligible as a charitable organization like the Salvation Army or St. Vincent de Paul or whatever, you have to collect 75% of the market rent. So the big corporations are getting in instead of charging 80% of the market rent, which is what the social housing formula seems to demand, what we have is the large corporations coming in under the radar and charging the 75% market rent value and declaring themselves a charity organization, therefore paying any tax. That is just totally criminal from what I understand. Is that correct?
It's not just the church groups and the charities, you're quite right. It's also corporations that can claim charitable status by charging 75% of the market rent.
So they're minting it, aren't they?
Rent assistance as well.
So that means those corporations and the non-government sector are collecting the Commonwealth rent subsidies that's given by the Centrelink, so to speak, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Commonwealth rent assistance is being used as an operating subsidy by community housing organisations. And they're very clear about that they rely on maximum Commonwealth rent assistance coming in order to provide even a percentage of their housing to people on low incomes.
So as I see it,
that's under threat. The whole thing is kind of very precarious as well, because it relies on Centrelink payments.
So as I see it, the Centrelink rent subsidy, which is taxpayer money, is being transferred, 100% transferred to NGOs and private corporations.
Yeah. Of course, the Commonwealth rent assistance applies to people in completely private rental too. I mean, it's not just something which is paid to people in community housing. But even from the standard of the standpoint of capitalist economics, the Commonwealth rent assistance is fundamentally bad policy in that it's essentially a subsidy to landlords. It bids up rents.
Yep.
So even from your Milton Friedman point of view, if you like,
yes,
it's fundamentally really bad policy. Not calling for it to be stripped away from people, of course, right at the moment, because people depend on it to actually pay their rent. But it's not the direction to go to a long term solution to housing. The fact is, the capitalist market does not supply people's housing needs in a modern complex society. Public housing needs to be accepted as a necessary part of the mix that to make sure that everybody is housed. You actually need an expansion of public housing, and all this messing about, if you like, with community housing and so forth, is, in my view, largely an attempt to simply face that, to evade that reality, which really runs across the against the whole neoliberal mindset that the market can solve everything. Well, the fact is, it can't. And I think people might be waking up to that now, and we might be able to talk about sensible solutions. And the fact is, we simply need more public housing. Public housing is part of how you provide housing in any big complex society such as our own. The market won't solve it on its own.
And just another point, Lali, about the Commonwealth rent assistance is that people need to be clear that public housing doesn't require it. It's a different model altogether. So you know, different groups are always very quick to label public housing subsidised housing, taxpayer-funded housing. Well, it's what they don't realise is just how much community housing is costing the taxpayer in the form of ongoing, endless streams of Commonwealth rent assistance, which goes directly to the landlords.
There are a couple of other issues I want to take up with you. One is the a new policy, or I suppose that you can call it policy, the Greens released about the renters market, or renters per se. And the other issue I want to take up with you is the quality of the renters market as such. Because one of the things that always struck me is the regulation of properties that are being rented, whether it's public or private. I walked into a house one day, and they had just a baby, and being a maternal child health nurse, I do home visits, of course, and there was this big crack. It's about an inch wide, and it exposed the house to the cold. And I asked them, how come you rented a place like this? He said, well, they refused to fix it. They said, that's how it was when you rented it, and we are not obliged to fix it. And they had the heater running 24 hours a day to try and keep the house warm. And it was appalling that, you know, they were unable to actually address such a fundamental issue with a new, well, with a new baby or not. The fact is, it was actually like living in a tent outside in the freezing cold. And this quality of properties that are being rented out, it never ceases to amaze me. And I know another teenage fellow who was living in a house that was supposedly a house, was the size of a container. And the rent he was paying was like $260 per week. And obviously that is a huge problem in terms of quality and terms of the amount of rent they pay.
But it's such a dwindling resource, isn't it, housing?
Yeah.
It's such a scarce resource that, you know, people can profiteer from it. You can, it opens the door to all sorts of shonky practices.
Look, the landlord, I mean, Parliament has always more represented the class of people who are likely to be landlords than the likely to be tenants, right? So the landlord and tenancy law has always been and heavily skewed towards landlords, and one of the big challenges ahead of us is to unite, go beyond public housing and to unite with people in private rental and so forth. But to the best of my knowledge, and I'm not, I obviously, you know, can't know for sure, but to the best of my knowledge, a house in the condition you describe with big cracks in the walls so that it's too cold to heat isn't actually legal to rent. The law is administered with a view to the landlord's worldview rather than to the tenant's worldview. That's on it. Look, it does touch on an important thing. One of the big propaganda techniques used by people trying to destroy public housing is the idea that public housing is very, very badly maintained. And that's been what has been used is that public housing's legitimate grievances about this or that maintenance issues are now being seized on and twisted in a dishonest way by community housing to give the idea that public housing in general is some kind of bizarre Dickensian slum. Actually, it's not true. Public housing maintenance issues come up from time to time, obviously, but for low-cost housing, the maintenance in public housing is certainly better than the maintenance in private housing of the same sort of cost. And though it's hard to get information about community housing because they're private and so figures on them are very difficult to get, but so far as we can ascertain anecdotally that their maintenance is no better at best is no better than the maintenance in public housing. So there's a whole propaganda push around the destruction of public housing.
Yeah, there is a lot of propaganda, isn't it?
There is.
And there's also a lot of propaganda against our communities, which is very false. And the whole idea is to beat up on public housing that when the transfers take place, the public won't be sympathetic to our cause.
Mm. We seem obsessed about the transfers, Lolita, is because it's something which is happening now. And it's something which is on the agenda of all political parties to hand over first the management and then the title to public housing to these
across all states.
Across all states. Yeah, it's a federally directed thing ultimately, but applied differently at different paces in different states. And it's something which is ongoing. I mean, I don't know. Was privatisation of water and gas a big success? Did it deliver the benefits it was supposed to do? Well, this is the privatisation which is ongoing at the moment, and I think we need to. It's being done in secrecy. It's really hard to get airspace about the issue, and it needs people need first of all to talk about it. I was just saying before. Before this interview came on, I was just saying what would be a big relief would be to if people talked about the stock transfers, even to support them, because then at least it would be in the public and we could talk about it. But it's like a Victorian, you know, it's like, you know, sex in the traditional Victorian family. It's happening, but you don't talk about it. You know what I mean? It's
good analogy.
Yeah.
Can I just stop you there for a minute? I thought we'll just go for a quick break and we'll get back into the discussion. There are a few other things that we need to tease out in this issue. Just hang on for me for a minute, please.
Want to keep your radio radical? Well, it's not too late to donate to 3CR's 40th birthday radiothon, and we still need your support. Call 9419 8377 or visit our website at 3cr.org.au. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street in Fitzroy during our office hours to pay by cash, check or FPOS. Or simply post your check or money order to PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066 and be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to. 3CR, 40 years of radical radio.
And if you haven't already guessed, we are... This is 3CR, and even though the radiothon, the 1 week that we focus on, is over, we are collecting money from anyone and everyone who would like to support us. And we run on voluntary labor. We don't get paid. And, of course, to be independent, we can't expect money from big corporations, and we don't want to. We'd like to stay independent and be a station that relies on the community, for the community, and we prefer to be run by the community. Now, we are in conversation with Jeremy Dixon and Fiona Ross from the Friends of Public Housing, which is a major issue. As we know, there is enormous crisis in housing. As we see people sleeping on the streets, it's become more visible in the fourth richest country in the world. We have people sleeping on the streets, and we have people couch surfing. The number of thousands of them are not actually being counted. We don't know the actual number of those people. And we also have crowding in houses where people can't afford to pay the rent because it is so high. So here we have poverty, and you've got unemployment rising, which then drive people into rented property, in crowded rented property. So there's a whole number of things that are intersecting, and it's having a terrible impact on people. Those who cannot afford to pay their rents, like two bedroom houses are $300-$400 a week, and I don't think we get that much Centrelink money, do we, guys?
No.
And that's
I didn't think
so. If we privatise public housing, it will make the situation so much worse.
Yes.
And this is such a class issue because by handing over public housing titles, it's irreversible, and also community housing are quite clear that they cater to the supposedly low to middle income bracket. So the people at the very bottom of the scale, they're overlooked if they're on, let's say, New Start or Youth Allowance.
Yeah.
And there's no compulsion for them to take the people with the high and complex needs either.
Yes.
So what we're seeing already, even before these mass transfers go through, is that the most vulnerable and the people who are on the lowest incomes are falling through the cracks, and they're becoming homeless, couch surfing. You know, the dream of having the dignity of your own little public housing flat in a community that is cohesive and cares about you, that's disappearing so quickly now. And I think this is the point, that once we hand over the titles to community housing, there's no more safety net for the people that community housing will not be housing, because they simply are not viable in the market.
This is which is often missed, actually, that community housing has its own agenda, that the people, groups like Housing Choices and Yarra Housing and so on, while government has a plan for them, so to speak, in replacing public housing, they're private organisations with their own agenda, and their own agenda is to house people of middle incomes. Their plan is not so much to replace public housing as to replace home ownership, so that people who would once have expected to own their own homes, people who earn working class wages, the big master plan here is that these people will spend their lives paying rent, and by businesses which give themselves the airs of charity. I think it's a really important point, and I think it would be the breakthrough point if it could be more widely understood, that public housing, increasing public housing and home ownership, and the great Aussie dream of home ownership, as they say, are not counterposed. They're very much in harmony, in the sense that having low rents, having reasonably rents available, is one of the things which makes it possible for people, if that's how they choose, to buy houses. That the community housing here isn't just existing at the expense of public housing. It is part of the master plan, which masters are dreaming for us, to replace, for working people, to replace home ownership with renting forever to these quasi charities. And in their own councils, they're quite open about that. They're quite open about that's what they want. They want comparatively low income working people who can pay market rents, and they're there to replace home ownership. Look, I used to work at Bryant and May before it closed down, the match factory, which had some of the wages paid, what were factory wages, right on the award, some of the lowest paid people in the country who were working full time, and they all owned their own houses. Because we could do that back in the 60s and 70s, and by God, we can do it now. We haven't technologically gone backwards. We've gone forwards. We haven't gone backwards in real wealth available to the society. We've massively gone forwards. And if we could afford public housing and home ownership, massive expansions of public housing, which occurred in the 60s, and home ownership, widespread home ownership, we can afford it now. It's just rubbish.
Agreed.
And even the organisations that are well-intentioned and want to take on the people who are vulnerable, because it's a business model, there will always be that tension within, and they will not be able to house the people at the scale that public housing can achieve that.
It's not about demonising anybody, you know. It's not about saying that the people who run community housing or work for community housing and so on are bad people. Often, they're not, obviously. It's about social policy here
And transparency and openness, so that we all know what's going on.
Now, the $65 million question, guys. The last few minutes, sorry to interrupt you there, but just a question I wanted to pose to you in the last few minutes we have in the interview. Why do you think the political parties, the major political parties, the three I'm speaking of, have not really taken up this issue?
Well, I think, as you've said before, this is part of a global neoliberalism that's sweeping across the world. And I honestly don't think there's any real left-wing mainstream party. Everything's moving to the right. and they're all involved in it. One of the interesting things is that, you know, there, a lot of organisations have been co-opted into this so-called brave new way of social housing, and public housing is supposed to be old hat. And meanwhile, the public tenants and the general public itself hasn't got a clue what's going on. So
I think it's a mistake to think that the people who run the major political parties and so on are necessarily all that intelligent, or necessarily have that mind direct. No, did you see? Did you see?
Self-serving comes to mind.
Did you see Bill Shorten on Q&A the other day when he was challenged directly on housing affordability, and he didn't really have anything. I mean, no. It's a major issue which massively involves a huge percentage of potential voter base, and they're really only just starting to think about it. They've just decided what to wind back negative gearing, which people interested in housing on a reality basis have been hopping on about for years. The ALP has still has just got the memo, so to speak, which is good. It's good that they've got the memo at last, but they've just got it, and they still don't know whether they're trying to push housing prices down or up. And when Shorten got a perfectly rational question about housing affordability, he didn't really have an answer. He could duck and weave a bit and say that they're against negative gearing, which will slow housing growth. No, when he had a question about people not being able to afford houses now. But they're just really starting to think about it.
Okay, time's up, guys. I'm just going to stop you there, sorry. We're noticing that the Q&A is bringing some embarrassing moments to our politicians, and I'm glad you mentioned that. But look, thank you so much for being available so early in the morning to talk about such an important issue. It is a fundamental, basic human need, and it's actually a human right to have shelter. And I cannot believe we live in a country that it's so rich and yet so poor. As I said, thank you so much. And we'll talk again in future and see how all this sort of pans out after the elections and depending on who wins and all that. So thanks, Fiona.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.